Welcome to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, where conversations explore the inner frontier. What is it I can say I know and why? Who am I really? Is there such a thing as free will? How does the human mind differ from the programmed artificial intelligence being built today? How is thinking and destiny connected? Is mind really capable of being our best healer or our worst slayer? Where does the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax leave off and the mind begin? These are just some of the questions Eldon and his guest take on in this next fascinating hour. You won't want to miss any of it. And now, here is your host of Mind Matters, Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour of Mind Matters, an hour devoted to questions of consciousness, mind, and all that might arise out of this inquiry and somehow, in some way, really matter. From my studio in Spokane, Washington, where it's exceedingly hot today, through the marvel of modern technology, we're coming to you wherever you might be, anywhere in the world, live across the internet, and if you live in the Seattle area, well, you're probably listening to your radio's FM high-definition dial. We have a really great show today, and I know you will enjoy it, but first we have some business to take care of. Beginning September 9th, our show will air on Wednesday at 1 p.m. live, and then replay on Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Our listening audience continues to grow almost logarithmically, and thus the multiple time slots. We want to thank you, because without you, there simply isn't a show. Now, today's subject, faith. What is faith, after all? Well, if you're listening to a psychic, you've got to have faith. Philosophers across cultures, but particularly those with a Christian orientation, have discussed faith for at least 2,000 years. Faith for the typical philosopher means to hold firmly to a belief, but to do so without knowing. For if you were to know with a certainty, then that would not require faith at all. Indeed, for some, the mysteries of life exist just so we are called upon to trust, to believe, to have faith. In recent weeks, we have discussed life after death, including the survival of our pets. We have investigated the limits, if any, to consciousness. I have shared new evidence with you about the remarkable findings that suggest that consciousness is not dependent upon the organ brain. We have talked about near-death experiences, electronic voice phenomena, and more, and we have also introduced the idea of non-duality. It takes only a second for the thinking man to recognize that these subjects all require some act of faith. Let me hopefully make this just a little clearer. If there is only one, capital O-N-E, as our recent guest Chuck Hillig asserted, then why are there so many different disembodied folks out there coming through various mediums with so many different stories? If Vedanta is the practice of recognizing the divine within, and enlightenment is the state of being aware, fully awake to the divine nature of self, then what kind of faith does one need to realize this state? To abandon the notion that evil exists in the world at all, in order to be one with all. If pets have a spirit, and there is such a thing as transmigration, then is there such a thing as de-evolution? Are folks like Adolf Hitler destined to be de-evolved, becoming stones, or something much less than human? Let's go a little further. Roger Williams, the founder of Rhode Island Colony, was buried beneath a young apple tree in his garden. In 1936, the local government decided to exhume his remains and place them in a monument to mark the state's 300th anniversary. However, when the grave was opened, the diggers discovered that in the preceding 253 years, a root from the apple tree had penetrated the casket and absorbed the nutrients, slowly leaving only fragments of William's remains. Indeed, the root had grown in the exact shape of the skeleton, entering through the skull, proceeding down the spine, and parting to form two legs. For years, children had been eating apples from this apple tree. The molecular structure of Roger Williams had been spread among who knows how many thousands over 250 years. Now the question, or the problem, in Christianity, when resurrection occurs, every atom of the body will be restored by God. Think of all the shared atoms in the instance of Roger Williams. How can this reassembling be done on a judgment day? The point of these three simple examples is straightforward. Faith. It will take faith and perhaps a giant leap of faith to wrap one's trust and total belief around ideas that challenge our intellect or our ways of knowing. The great existentialist, founder of existentialism, actually Soren Kierkegaard, argued that to have faith, you must make a great leap. It is from his work that we get the idea of a leap of faith. For film producers Isaac Allen and Chad Cameron, the evidence should be produced before a leap is made. Let me say that again. Let's get the evidence before we decide to make our leap of faith. What evidence? The evidence from all relevant fields of inquiry, including physics, philosophy, religion, and metaphysics. What does the evidence suggest? Well, in a moment, they're going to join us and they're going to tell us just what that evidence suggests and a whole lot more. Each week, we try to bring you interesting subjects that ask big questions. I do believe that the questions themselves are often more important than our so-called answers. The questions are a path. The answers seem to be destinations. And all too often, those destinations, they're shallow. They don't hold up under tough scrutiny. The path, on the other hand, the question, that's the stage of inquiry. That's the stage of learning. That's the stage of growing. And I kind of think that's the stage we're supposed to follow. Well, each week, anyway, we work to bring you leading authors, researchers, visionaries, and the like to discuss their take on these matters. Excuse me. I know what I think. What do you think? We want your ideas, thoughts, and questions, so join us. You can do that by phoning toll-free, 877-230-3062. Get down that phone number, because I got a special gift for you today, 877-230-3062, or by entering our chat room. Just go to www.ctrchat.com from anywhere in the world and enter your comments and questions. My partner, Ravinder, is here in the studio with me. Say hello to everyone out there, Ravinder.
Hello, everyone out there, Ravinder.
Oh, real cute.
I try.
She monitors the chat room, watching it live during the broadcast. She will greet you and see that I don't get so involved with our guest that your questions or comments go ignored. We will get you on the air. Now, for every caller today, we have a special gift. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. All right, as I have already indicated, my guests today are filmmakers Isaac Allen and Chad Cameron, two men who set out to explore the ancient spiritual idea that our world is an illusion. As their journey deepened, they were taken on a cosmic adventure to the source of reality itself, and through personal breakthroughs to more love, abundance, and creativity than they thought possible. Along the path, they made discoveries that changed their lives profoundly for the better. The result of their journey is Leap, the movie. I've seen the movie. You'll love the movie. The ideas presented in Leap may challenge your current beliefs and ideals. To think of yourself, your family, friends, and everything you know and love as part of an elaborate illusion sounds insane. But then again, Einstein did say, reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. This movie and philosophy is not about denying our physical experience. Ultimately, it is about leaping beyond limitations and restrictions which this illusion appears to impose. And for every caller that phones in during our show today, Isaac and Chad are giving one free copy of the DVD, Leap. So be sure to phone and get your copy of the movie Leap on DVD. Now, as is said in Hollywood, without further ado, welcome to Mind Matters, Isaac and Chad.
Hello, Eldon. This is Chad. The world may be an illusion, and Isaac is dealing with the illusion of a changing a one-and-a-half-year-old's diaper at the moment. So he's in the other room. He'll join us here shortly.
How wonderful. That's wonderful. I like that. You know, he sent me his PDF being a spiritual parent, parenting from a spiritual basis. That's a whole other subject. But obviously, he's walking the talk, isn't he?
Yep, absolutely. And that's definitely, as you mentioned, that's another project we have going on at the moment.
And so, if this is a very, very dirty diaper, he is in there right now, unlike me, trying to breathe, looking in another direction. He's breathing it in deeply, saying, I am one with the diaper.
Yes, yes. It's kind of like that's a good metaphor for life, right? There's a lot
yes.
of CRAP in your life, and every once in a while you got to change the diaper.
All right, well, let's start, if we can, while we're waiting on Isaac to join us, by letting you tell me the story behind the movie. How did you and Isaac get together, and why did you make the film?
We made the film because we just were so compelled. Like, this philosophy just drove us to, we like to call it, you know, the core of what's really going on here. And if you look at any spiritual tradition, there's always this talk of, you know, things aren't as real as you think they are. You know, either it's an illusion or it's temporary. You know, Christians refer to this as a temporary situation. So if you dive in deep enough into anything, it seems like this thing is at the center of it all. So once we started going down that road, you know, we read a few different books that really changed our way of thinking. And we thought, well, we can, you know, no one's really made a movie about this. It's kind of like a spirituality meets practicality kind of stuff. Like, what do you do with it? Okay, so what? The world's an illusion. Now what? So we had these experiences, and we thought, well, this would be kind of a fun thing to share. And that's kind of how Leap was born.
Okay, now you say you read a couple of books, and from these books, you discovered the world was an illusion. Now, I'm gonna ask you right there. Perhaps we should start by defining the difference between dualism and non-dualism, so we can get an idea as to what you mean by illusion.
Yeah, definitely. So, dualism is the belief that, you know, you are separate. Like, there's things outside of you. You know, considerably. You know, God is outside of you. Your boss is outside of you. All these things are outside of you and beyond your control. Non-dualism is kind of reversing the situation. So if you look at anything, you know, like The Course in Miracles, or Robert Scheinfeld's Busting Loose from the Money Game, or the holographic universe, or even if you dive into quantum physics, where they talk about the observer effect, and you look at this observer effect, well, the observer actually is an integral part of the situation, and without the observer, the situation is different, and the observer impacts the situation. So when you really get that, then you realize that you are an integral part of it all, and perhaps you are a piece of all that there is. So the analogy I love to use is that of an aspen tree. You know, you see a grove of aspen trees, and they all seem to be these separate, individuated trees, but the reality is aspen trees don't grow from seeds like most other trees. They actually grow from the root ball. So the roots go out, and the trees pop up. So if you cut down one aspen tree, you're actually affecting the organism as a whole. Now, they look separate on the surface, just like I would say, Eldon, you and I look separately. You know, I could punch you in the shoulder, and, you know, I won't suffer. But really, we're all connected. We're all the same thing. You know, there's one energy here showing up as 6.5 million people on the planet.
Okay, now, the physics of this, and I'm going to try and put this together, you correct me, but the physics of this, you're drawing upon the uncertainty principle, Schrodinger's cat in the box, right?
Yeah.
When you say, you know, is the cat alive or is the cat dead, that depends upon what my expectation is, or that depends upon my act of opening that box, right?
Yep.
How does that transfer or relate to your aspen grove? I mean, the cat and the observer, are they one and the same? Or you're not attempting to imply that, are you, Chad?
Well, I mean, it's just a different philosophical... So you probably hear a crying kid in the background. It's a different philosophical shift to think of, you know, the world being out there versus the world being in your mind, and everything out there being a projection of, you know, who you are and how you be and whatever you want to interact with. You know, the whole leap philosophy is consider you are this thing called, you know, we'll just call it consciousness or the one source or something. I kind of try to stay away from the chargeable words like God, but you are this thing. You are all there is. And one definition of this whole illusion that I love so much is, you know, the world began when nothing became aware of itself. Joe Vitale says that in Leap, and it's so beautiful because the Buddhists talk about the void, and you get back to the void and you see the void for what it is, and you can't language it. Like, this stuff, you can't just come back and say, oh yeah, this is how it is. You have an experience of what's really going on, and when you come back to language it, then you're kind of sunk at that
point. All right, well, we have a caller on the line that has got a good question for you, so let's go to that phone call, and we'll pick it up from there. Pamela, are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, it's indeed our pleasure. You have a good question. I see it here on the screen. Share it with Chad, will you?
All right. Well, I would like to know that if we're in this dream state, a constant dream state or an illusion, and I do have a tendency to believe that, but who is in charge of that illusion? If we're not, because obviously if we were really in charge of our evolution, things wouldn't, you know, really mishappen the way they do all the time, and, you know, there wouldn't be really bad things going on the earth. So who would be in charge of our illusion? Is there something else that might be an illusion of what even our illusion is? Can you help me?
Yeah, that's a great question. We get that a lot. One of the analogies that we use in our seminars is that of the video game. So if you consider that this whole thing started when the programmer had an idea to create a video game, and he created the video game. Well, there was a movie back in the 80s called Tron. I don't know if you remember that, Pamela, but the guy actually goes into the video game. So imagine for a minute that the programmer steps back, plays the video game, and it's all well and good and fun, and then he thinks, well, I wonder what it would be like if my awareness went into the video game. So the next thing he knows, that happens, and he's playing along inside the video game, and it's a fun experience because now it's a different experience, because from programmer land, anything's possible. You know, you
right.
can just write a line of code and poof, there's $1 million, or you write a line of code and poof, there's a new house. So anything's possible in programmer land, but once you get into the video game, you know, there's rules and there's things like gravity that seem to occur inside the video game. There's these limitations. Well, the game becomes, what would it look like? What would my experience be as an unlimited being to be put in a limited environment and then play around and move around there? And then the ultimate game is, let me forget that I'm that infinite being playing in that limited environment. So that's what we think is really going on here. So to answer your question, who's in charge? I would say the programmer is always in charge, and the programmer created it all for you to play in. And when we think about ourselves, or I like to call it the skin suit known as Chad, the skin suit known as Pamela, the ego, whatever you want to call it, like that thing seems to think and feel for itself, and you have certainly have the experience of that, but in the end, I would say, you know, everything is handled by the programmer, which is outside of the video game, so to speak.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Pamela?
Yes, it does. I understand.
Well, I guess it doesn't mind. I'm going to have to pick up from that side, but you be sure and give Billy, our producer, your details so we can get you a copy of the DVD. You'll
love it. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Pamela. All right, Chad, I'm going to come right back to you then and say, okay, now look, if we use Tron as the example, just go right to your example, then is it you, is it I that are the programmer?
Yes And no, that's where the duality comes in. I mean, if we all have had experiences that we can't explain, knowing this is that sweep over us, and I would say that's when we're really in the zone and we're actually receptive to potentially program or input. And in those moments, you don't really think, you know, you don't sit there and weigh your options. You just act and do, and then it just works out, and life goes really smoothly. So what we're proposing is you can get into that zone more and more often just by realizing who you are and where you are and what the parameters of this game are.
Okay, so your form of monism, if I get this correctly, is that for all intent and purposes, there is a programmer, and in your analogy of the aspens, that programmer is the master aspen, and you and I are just a part of that series of aspens, but it is the master programmer that is really the program. Is that what you're saying, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, and we'll never know. Again, this is just a model that we use to explain stuff, and it really seems to work for us. I mean, you've got the programmer that's responsible for it all, that created it all, and then it jumps into these individual skin suits to play this game. And then the tangled hierarchy that goes on, you know, you just have to look at your life and the lives of others and every interaction you have, and you look at that in the tangled hierarchy scheme of things, just getting that everything is always there to support you because you're the Mario in the game. And if you go back to the video game analogy, everything in, we'll just call him Mario, you know, from the Nintendo mm-hmm. days, the Mario viewpoint, the tree, the vine, the everything in there, A, was programmed by the programmer to be in there, and B, is in there to enhance his experience. And sure, there's things that we would say, that Mario would say, suck, you know, like the turtle bites his leg or something. But without that, you know, we can't enjoy the good stuff, too, and that's the duality that we're in this game, and that's what makes it so beautiful. If you look at something as simple as a TV show, you know, all TV shows pretty much follow the same, TVs and movies, they follow the same lines where there's a hero and there's a villain and there's circumstances and there's a twist and a turn. If we all say we want $1 million and we want the hot tantric relationship and we want the nice house and we want the great job and we want all this stuff, but the reality is if you've got everything you wanted all the time, I would say consider it wouldn't be nearly as much fun. And that's why if you look at TVs and movies, there's always ups and there's always downs and there's always somebody that cheated somebody, because it makes it fun. From the programmer's perspective or the writer of the movie's perspective, it's really fun. If you wrote a movie about a guy going to work and he got the job and he got the promotion and he got the corner office and he went home and his wife didn't cheat on him and his kid got accepted to Harvard and every turn it was just the best possible scenario that could come out of it, you'd be done watching it in about 5 minutes.
Well, I don't know about that. When we come back, we have to take a break. I'm going to take you on that point, Chad. Indeed, you might, going into the break, think about some of the teachings that are going on right now about, you know, the magnetism and the power of prosperity and the message in The Secret and the law of attraction and what you just said. Because I'm going to ask you about that when we get back. You're
okay,
listening to
we'll
Mind Matters on Contact Talk Radio in the Seattle area. You can tune in live over KRWM 106.9 on your FM high definition 3 dial. Or from anywhere in the world, tune in by going to contacttalkradio.com. My guests today are filmmaker Isaac Allen and Chad Cameron. And we're discussing their wonderful film Leap and the idea in and behind Leaps of Faith. And so far, I'm looking for my bridge to the faith. But I'm sure we'll get it before this show is over. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
By special arrangement, Eldon has made available his best-selling Essential Pillars of Success at unheard-of savings. The principles and essential pillars have worked for thousands of people around the world and are guaranteed to work for you. Essential Pillars of Success consists of 9 programs on 8 CDs and comes with a book that explains how and why it's so easy to self-sabotage our best efforts and provides a roadmap for correcting those thought patterns and beliefs. It also includes a booklet teaching the learning strategies involved in choosing the programs or scripts that run through your mind. The entire mind conditioning set normally sells for $243.50, but is yours today for only $88. Plus, you will receive hundreds of dollars in bonus tools to further assist you. Call 1-800-964-3551 today for details.
You've heard of subliminal messages as used to sell you goods, ideas, even politicians. But did you know there is a patented and scientifically demonstrated effective CD series known as InnerTalk? InnerTalk can motivate and teach your subconscious in ways that can release stress, restore confidence, and build a new you. Millions of users worldwide have turned to InnerTalk as the antidote for all the negative messaging that most of us get every day. Think about it. Play your CD in the background while you do other things, and all the while your subconscious mind is being trained. Maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe you have difficulty in your relationships, or maybe you think of the maybe and ask yourself, what could I do if I believe that I could do anything and not fail? Go to their website and get their free catalog today at innertalk.com or call toll free 1-800-964-3551. Remember, InnerTalk, when believing in yourself matters.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by the Mind Mint, the self-improvement superstore. MindMint.com offers hundreds of books, audio and video programs, subliminal and hypnosis technologies, software, biofeedback, and much more, all designed with your success in mind. Proven programs to help in almost all situations and walks of life, from the practical to the spiritual. Go to www.mindmint.com, your complete one-stop self-improvement superstore. Once again, that's www.mindmint.com.
Welcome back. Before break, I was talking to Chad Cameron, one of the producers of the movie Leap. And Chad had just explained to us that it would be a boring, short-lived experience if everything that we wanted, everything we imagined, everything we desired, we didn't get. And, you know, I suggested that after we came back from the break, I wanted to see how that matched up with some of the teachings that we hear today. The law of attraction is a case in point, where the teaching is essentially we have this divine aspect within ourselves. The cornucopia of life is ours. We hold it away from ourselves by misusing the law of attraction. And if we use the law of attraction correctly, we can have everything that we have ever desired in life. So it would appear, on the surface at least, that Chad's position and the teachings behind the secret of the law of attraction would be at odds. And to that end, Chad, how would you like to address that?
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, have you ever run into anyone, or do you know anyone, or perhaps you are someone that's gotten everything you've ever wanted at every turn of your life?
Well, but that is not an answer to my question. The law of attraction people would say...
I've never seen anyone that's done that. I personally have not seen anyone that has everything. I mean, this would assume that you could, you know, pick the winning lottery numbers. I mean, if you wanted to win the lottery, you could visualize on it, you could manifest it, you could muscle test it, you could do whatever you wanted to do and somehow crack the code and figure out the winning lottery numbers, and then you'd be set money-wise. And I've yet to hear of anyone, nor see anyone, nor know anyone that's actually done that. So because no one's actually done that, I would say that's a safe assumption. Would you agree with me, Eldon?
Well, actually, you know, I do and I don't. And here's where I don't, Chad.
Okay.
You see, I've never known anybody that was also won. I could take that same criteria to the idea you're promulgating and say to you, but I have never known anybody, including Chuck Hillock, that, you know, was immersed in soul being or living that Vedanta experience, that they were the one. Have you ever known anybody?
Well, that comes back to the direct experience. And once you have a direct experience of this thing being an illusion, or you being part of this magnificent energetic dance that's going on, and really getting at your core that you can't even explain, that you are one with all of this stuff, until you have that for yourself, then no, you can't explain it.
Okay, now, I'm being devil's advocate, understand this, audience, and you too, Chad, because I love the film and I love what you've done. But I think it's important to bring out some of these questions, as opposed to just have, here's the story, and the story rolls out, and there are models and metaphors and algorithms, and they all sound compelling until you set them off for a minute. Because I think sometimes what happens is a story gets told, then we reflect on it, and we say, yeah, but what about this? And then the story gets discarded because of that. In 1785, philosopher Thomas Reed wrote, "Whatever this self may be, it is something which thinks and deliberates and resolves and acts and suffers. I am not thought," he continued. "I am not action. I am not feeling. I am something that thinks and acts and suffers." In other words, anything and everything that one could come to know or discover, in his view, would be disqualified from claiming the title of oneself. Now, to you, Chad, is this not contrary, precisely opposite to what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, but then you look at somebody like Plato, who said, you know, how can you tell if you're awake, or, you know, if you're in a dream state dreaming all this, or if you're in a, an awake state, you know, dealing with this as an awake being? It's just, it's all a paradox when you get down to it. And the bottom line is, what we talk about in LEAP and what we talk about a lot in our workshops is all there is to do is to pick a model that works for you and leaves you empowered. And but coming from the context that the world's an illusion, it really does. I mean, once you get over the initial hurdle, which I understand is the first leap is a big leap, and once you can get over that philosophically and look at this whole thing, science, quantum's telling us, you know, nothing's there, atoms aren't things, they're only tendencies. You know, the Werner Heisenberg and all this stuff that's going on. I mean, there seems to be a lot of evidence pointing to the fact that nothing's going on here, and that it's conceivably it's all going on in your mind. And if you can step back and you can look at that and use that as an empowering context to live your life, that's what we're trying. That's the message we're trying to get across to people.
We've got a caller on the line, Chad, with a wonderful question. And so let's go to Chuck in Virginia. And Chuck, are you there?
I am, Eldon. Hi, how are you?
I'm excellent, sir. How are you?
Is this Mr. Hillig?
I'm happy to be talking to three of my favorite people here.
You have a question. What is the question, sir?
Well, I heard my name bandied about a bit, so I thought I better jump into the conversation. So,
that's good.
Dad, you still there?
Yes.
Is Isaac back from changing Ava's diaper?
I think he's just entering the room right now.
All right. So here's
Elvis
something.
Is in the building.
All right, here we go. If it's a video game, how do you win this game, and what happens after the game is over? I mean, is our goal ultimately to pull the plug on the game? Who are we outside of the game?
Well, let's take a little step back and ask, what's the purpose of a video game, first of all? I mean, I would say the only purpose of the video game is to have fun and enjoy the playing of the video game. And then if we do, you know, people always want to rush to get enlightened, and they want to get out of this physical experience, and, you know, they have all their spiritual metaphors for why this is so awful and it's horrible, and they've got to get out of here. Well, that would be analogous to winning the video game. And what happens when you win the video game? You go down to the store and you get another video game. So conceivably, you know, at the end of this life, and we don't really go into next life, past life stuff, because it just doesn't really interest us, and you can spend a lot of time spinning your wheels, but conceivably, sure, this life, the Chuck Hillig life, would be over, and you'd go into the next life, and you'd choose something else, a different video game, perhaps.
Well, very good. Thank you for that.
Thank you for calling,
Chuck. The other option is, I could step out in front of a bus, and then I'd know, you know, right away what would happen after the video game. But I haven't been too inspired to do that.
Ah, okay.
So the practical side of this, and that's, you know, this is Chuck Hillick for all of you out there in listening land. He was a guest a couple of weeks ago, marvelous guest, and a good friend of our film producers. And if I understand, then the practical of all of this is we play the game to the best advantage that we can play. We enjoy the game. We have fun in the game. And then we go get another game when it's all said and done.
Maybe, but I wouldn't even go so far as to say that because I don't know. I've never had an awareness of not being alive, and I've never died, so I can't really report on that. It's a good theory, I would say, for me.
What then is the practical application?
The practical application, hello gentlemen, it's Isaac. The practical application for us is that it gives us a place to stand in that we feel connected with whatever you want to call it, source.
Hold it one second, Isaac. I'm sorry. I happened to ask you a question. We have a caller on the line that has the same question. So I'm going to bring that caller on the line. I'm going to say goodbye to Chuck, and then I'm going to let you answer the question for the caller and myself, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Chuck, thanks for calling. We'll see you get a copy of the DVD.
Oh, I already have one. Thank you, Eldon. See you guys later.
You want another one?
No, we're good. Thanks.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Andrea, are you there?
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi.
You have a question.
Yes. Just what you were talking about, I was wondering what the benefit would be to us to, you know, for thinking the world as an illusion. So just what
now,
you were
Isaac,
starting
go
to
back.
Talk about.
Okay, let's rewind the tape a little bit there. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
We'd say that the benefit is there's certain benefits that show up for it. Now everyone's on a spiritual path, or everyone's having their human experience, Joseph Campbell, hero's journey. We'd say that our experience has been the benefit is you're finally free. If you keep going down this path, now you'll discover your own truth. The benefit for us and the other people that we've interviewed along the way is that they have a sense of being peaceful. And a lot of people don't get this right away, but the seeking is over. If you really take it on and go, we'd say you go down into the rabbit hole, and forgive me if I'm repeating something Chad said, we'd say this actually melts the rabbit hole. It removes everything in the form world. It brings you back. It kind of returns you home, for lack of a better word, to the state of consciousness that, you know, let's call it the void, as Buddhism does. And then you come back, you still get to be Andrea, but you have a sense of knowing the truth beyond words. The benefits for us are we don't take things so seriously anymore. We're much more peaceful. We're happy. We're not seeking. We are definitely not seeking anymore. And kind of a bizarre byproduct of this idea, Andrea, is that when you actually get that it's all perfect, our experience has been, and a lot of people around us, is that we actually find we're more inclined to do what you could call things that better the world. You know, we're more involved. I mean, Chad and I are making a movie about empowering women. We're making a movie about parenting. We're making countless movies. We're making a movie about New Thought churches. So in the space of it's all perfect, the paradox is we're actually inspired to contribute more in this dream than we were when we thought it was so serious and we had to do things.
Does that answer your question, Andrea?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Well, that's excellent. That's good. Doesn't answer mine. I'm still going to be devil's advocate, but we have to go to a break. Don't you go away. And for those of you out there listening, be sure to get in, make that phone call, get your copy of this movie. It is a great movie, but I am committed to remaining the devil's advocate. Isaac, Chad, we'll be right back. Join our listening audience after these commercial breaks. Messages. You're listening to Mind Matters on Contact Talk Radio. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Has stress taken over your life? Waking up tired, unable to focus? At last, a new approach for the treatment of stress-related disorders. It's called CES, a revolutionary new technology that is safe, effective, and easy to use. Best of all, it has none of the negative side effects of drugs. CES has been validated by a major study at the Harvard School of Public Health. Its benefits demonstrated in dozens of independent research studies conducted at the National Institute of Health. And this new technology is now available in CES Ultra, the most effective and cost-effective unit now on the market. So why endure another stress-filled day? Increase your mental energy. Elevate your mood. CES Ultra can make the difference. It is available on a 30-day, no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee. Call 866-YES-FOR-CES or go to CESUltra.com to find out more about this breakthrough technology. CES Ultra, the doorway to good health and a balanced life.
Hay House, the publisher that has revolutionized the industry, brings you Choices and Illusions, the riveting New York Times bestseller by Eldon Taylor. How did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? Questions we all ask ourselves. Choices and Illusions brings you the answers. Learn how choices are made for you without your knowledge, how you are programmed to sabotage your own goals, and why success so often eludes you. Learn to rewrite the most powerful influence in your life, your subconscious mind. John Edward, host of the Crossing Over Show, says, read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More importantly, it helps you to see that you can manifest a change. Get your copy today. Buy it online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or get it at your local bookstore.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by InnerTalk, the patent and proven audio technology that makes change easy from the inside out. When you're ready for change, you want InnerTalk. You can succeed and you can begin today. Lose weight. Stop smoking. Enhance relationships. Be a better parent. Increase memory. End procrastination. Realize your goals and so much more. Hundreds of titles to choose from. Inner Talk, when believing in yourself matters. Check it out today at www.innertalk.com or phone for a free catalog at 1-800-964-3551. Again, for more information and that free catalog, call them at 1-800-964-3551.
Welcome back. Before we went to break, my guests, Chad Cameron and Isaac Allen, film producers of the wonderful film Leap, and I were discussing, together with our phone calls, the whole idea of this non-dualism, this this one with the one, if you will. And, of course, what I think of when I think of that, and I think of, you know, as Chad put it earlier, our lives don't always bring us the wonderful things that we would like to have. The law of attraction sometimes apparently doesn't work. Maybe it is not even supposed to work. Maybe we're supposed to have sorrow and suffering in order to accomplish what this life is about. Maybe not. But when I think of all these things, what I think about is reality. You know, you think about people that you know, and you think, okay, this is a question really about who am I? This is a question about you know, where did I come from? What is my life? What is my purpose? Who am I? What am I doing here? And if you think then about this position of ourselves, our consciousness, our minds, our memories, and how we know ourselves, you know, and you think of somebody like former President Ronald Reagan and his Alzheimer's condition and disease and the deterioration of his mind and where did he go? What is it that ultimately made him? If you think about all these things, you have to really ask, who am I in a really meaningful sense? Because the who am I is not, myself now broadcasting or my guests or it's not you as a listener. You know, the who am I is a much more involved question than that. And to that end, Chad, Isaac, your film addresses those big questions. You interviewed a number of specialists from different disciplines. What did you come up with? Who am I?
Yeah, that was one of our favorite questions, and we pretty much asked it to everyone, and we got a variety of answers. But there was a common thread among all the answers, and you know, the people we went after were obviously in the non-dual genre, so the answer was fairly similar. You know, you are a splinter of consciousness. You are, you know, a child of God, however you want to language it. You're a piece of this thing. It's not separate from you. It is you. It's, you know, God got bored and blew himself up. We've all heard this story. God got bored, blew himself up, and then there's 6.5 billion pieces of that thing having an experience. You know, people call it love, people call it a game, people call it a journey, however you want to language it, and we don't get mired down in the language. We don't think there's one way to look at it, but there's just one energy. There's one source playing a game with itself, and as Chuck Hillig so eloquently says, all there is right here and right now and ever is love, loving itself. And then we have all kinds of different words for that. You know, we call it anger, we call it grief, we call it joy, we call it this, we call it that. But they're just different levels and attributes of love loving itself.
So when you think of who you are, if, and this, of course, you know, won't happen, but let's not put it that way. Let's think of President Reagan. Where did President Reagan go in his last days? How would you see that? What is the you? That's what I'm getting to. Is it consciousness? Is it memory? Is it a soul? Is it a spirit? Is it a flicker of light in some film projection? What is the you? What is the quintessential self?
Well, again, this is a conversation that's been going on forever, and we say through our own experience that there is, again, for me it always comes back to the void, and no one likes the sound of that, but it's very comforting after you get used to it, as the Buddhists say, the void, or everything, nothing. It's everything and it's nothing. I'd say you go back to, well, you know, to some degree you haven't even left it, so if as long as you identify with the skin suit, you're limited. The opportunity is to sort of shift your consciousness to that of, let's call it, the origin. And when you're there, the questions like, where does the skin suit go, and what happens next, and do I have many lives, that really just, it falls away. All that falls away, and what you're left with is a sense of freedom and peace to play full out in this human experience you're having.
Okay, we have a question from the chat room. If this life is an illusion, and I'm reading the question to you now, can I make the point of the game anything I want? And if so, how do I do that?
Well, the question would be, who is the you that wants to change the game? If it's you, the skin suit, you definitely have the experience of being able to change things. I have the experience of choosing what I wear each day. I have the experience of choosing who I hang out with, choosing the job that I do, choosing what I eat.
But I would choose to be queen.
You would?
I would choose to be queen, yeah. Actually, maybe not, but I can think of things along those lines. I would choose to be a wonderful singer. I would choose to have a wonderful voice. I mean, that would be magical. I think my husband would appreciate that.
I bet your husband already
appreciates it. I think you have a wonderful voice.
Well, in the storyline, sometimes, whether it's a video game or a hero's journey or however you look at it, we do create things that we have to do in the game. So maybe you need to take singing lessons. Maybe part of your storyline is to quit telling yourself you don't have a great voice or whatever, and maybe inspiration is telling you to take up singing lessons. We've been looking for the answer to these questions for thousands of years, probably since the experience of humanity began. We'd say the only thing people can really do is keep going deeper into questions, because that's what it's really all about. Keep questioning reality, keep questioning your reality, and discover your own truth And everyone will interpret it differently. That's why we have countless interpretations and countless people thinking they have the truth. What they actually have is their truth.
Yeah, it may seem like a silly way out to say what I'm going to say, but really when you get it, it's not. Is that everyone really needs to look at the stuff for themselves and come to their own conclusion. There's nobody out there that's going to have your answer. I mean, there's certainly people that can contribute to the storyline of how you ended up at your answer and your version of what's going on in your world. But, I mean, that's the one thing we try to leave people with at the end of LEAP, and that's what we leave people with in our seminars is, you know, you've got to think for yourself. You know, like the quote that ends LEAP is, think for yourself. Ask yourself what's true until you know.
And you're using know in a very special sense here.
Absolutely. It's a direct experience. Imagine if everyone on the planet, except you, the you that's hearing us right now, had tasted chocolate ice cream, and everyone was walking around the world saying, oh my God, chocolate ice cream is so phenomenal, chocolate ice cream is this, chocolate ice cream is that. Until you have your own direct experience of what chocolate ice cream is for you, you're kind of feeling cheated. And so if you look at spiritual traditions, philosophies, whatever, until you have your own direct experience of your spiritual chocolate ice cream, you're always going to feel cheated until you discover your truth. Don't let anyone else tell you what your truth is. Discover what your truth is for you through your own direct experience.
So
we know also from a number of studies that have been done on a, you know, whether it's a car accident or any kind of thing that people are eyewitness to, you take five people out of the room or wherever it was this thing happened, and you ask them a bunch of questions, and they all have different stories. They all witnessed the same exact event from the same exact vantage point, but yet their stories were different. So why is it a big surprise that we have different spiritual people saying slightly different things? And I would venture to say, once you really look at it and you dig underneath the uniqueness of their version of their story, they're all really saying the same thing. They're saying car A hit car B, and the rest of it is the details. But if you just look for the core of it, you can see the underlying truth, and everybody's saying the same thing.
Okay, so the practical application of this is find your own truth. Everybody should just see this film. We can see that film at www.leapmovie.com. You have a new blog out there too, don't you?
We're doing some new blog posting.
Well, I'm looking at non-duality blog.
Out, and, of course, we're touring pretty regularly. We just came back last night from workshops that we're doing. I think the next one's in Moscow, Idaho, Eldon.
That's close to me.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have a book out at the end of the year because we've had people asking us for a book.
Now, tell us about some of the guests that are in your movie in the couple minutes we have left.
We've got Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior. We have physicist Peter Russell, Fred Allen Wolf, who was in What the Bleep and the Secret. As a side note, Eldon, we just got an email saying they're going to be showing Leap at the Science and Non-Duality Conference in October.
Oh,
we've got
wonderful.
Puppet G in there. We have an enlightened guru puppet in there to bring the tone down for a little bit of fun. We have Will Arndt, the creator of What the Bleep, in there. Gary Renard, who's a big A Course in Miracles person. Joe Vitale.
Okay, let me hold you there. We have one last question I want to get in from the chat room. Ravinder, do you want to read that question on the air, please?
Yeah, basically, I'll just read it out to you. She says, the question is, if it comes right down to it, we don't have absolute proof about what we're experiencing. So is it really what Dr. Taylor opened with? It's all about faith, what we think we're experiencing.
You have 30 seconds to answer that, gentlemen.
You can call it faith. You can call it choice. Yeah, I think faith is great. In the end, you can have your own direct experience, but in the end, all you'll know for sure is you have had an experience.
One quick thing we'd like to encourage people to do if they're interested in this at all is go to our website, leapmovie.com, and sign up for our newsletter. We're always sending stuff out, you know, once a week, once every other week, whenever we're inspired, good, supportive stuff. So leapmovie.com, newsletter, sign up.
All right. Now, I've got to tell you, I really appreciate you both joining us on the show today. And although I play devil's advocate, because I think that's my responsibility, it is a marvelous film, I'll tell you all. It is worth your time. It is. It will provoke some thinking. It may rile you in some places. I don't necessarily agree with all the guests, but it is a worthwhile film. And so I strongly encourage you to go to leapmovie.com, sign up there. You can download a trailer. If it's kind of a thing that you want to pursue, get a copy of their DVD. Thanks for joining us today, Chad. Thanks for joining us today, Isaac. You've been wonderful guests. In closing, we've come to the end of another hour of Mind Matters. I want to thank all of you out there listening for being with us today, and I hope you'll join us again next week when my guest will be Dr. John Lermer, a renowned physician who has spent his entire career documenting the near-death and pre-death experiences of his terminally ill patients. Dr. Lermer follows his first bestseller, Into the Light, with a second book, a great book, Learning from the Light, Pre-Death Experiences, Prophecies, and Angelic Messages of Hope. In electrifying scenes of encounters with angels, miraculous healings, prophecies, and visions, Dr. Lermer reveals compelling research and evidence that a loving spiritual world awaits human beings. Just some consciousness and beyond and a little more faith, that's all. So until next week, make every moment of every day a truly great one. Appreciate yourself, and above all else, to thine own self be true.
Thank you for listening to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, the one show where your mind is the ultimate frontier. Remember to join him again for more riveting guests and thought-provoking discussions every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific Time.